Is there a human rights catastrophe in your hand right now? There could well be, because the battery in your smartphone relies on cobalt, and roughly 75% of the world's cobalt is mined in the Congo, often under inhumane conditions. It's time the world's technology consumers face up to this problem, according to Siddharth Kara, author of the new book, Cobalt Red: How the Blood of the Congo Powers Our Lives. Siddharth is a professor at Nottingham University and has written three books on modern slavery. He joins us now to share five of his key insights.
This is Siddharth Kara, author of Cobalt Red: How the Blood of the Congo Powers Our Lives. I am a British Academy Global Professor and Associate Professor of Modern Slavery at the University of Nottingham in the UK. I would like to share with you five key insights from my book. Insight 1. You cannot conduct your daily life without a mineral called cobalt. Cobalt is a vital component to almost every single lithium-ion rechargeable battery made in the world today. That means cobalt is used in almost every smartphone, tablet, laptop, and electric vehicle that are used by billions of people around the world. Cobalt allows the batteries in these devices and cars to hold maximum charge while retaining thermal stability. Without cobalt, we would all be plugging in our gadgets and cars much more often, and eventually, those batteries might catch on fire. Electric vehicles, in particular, are driving the future demand for cobalt, as the battery packs in each EV require up to 10 kilograms of refined cobalt. As the world transitions from fossil fuels towards clean energy, demand for cobalt is expected to soar by more than 300% by 2030. Insight 2. Almost 75% of the world's supply of cobalt is mined in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. By virtue of geographic fluke, the DRC holds more cobalt reserves than the rest of the planet combined. As demand for cobalt grows, the Congo's share of world production is expected only to increase, unleashing a scramble to dig cobalt out of the ground as quickly as possible. The Congo's cobalt mines are located in the southeastern corner of the country near the Zambian border in an area called the Central African Copper Belt. An old colonial mining town called Lubumbashi is the administrative head of the Congo's mining operations. Chinese companies dominate mining production in the region, controlling 15 of the 19 major copper-cobalt mining concessions in the DRC. These concessions are enormous. Some of them are as big as a European city. Most of the production is centered around a town called Kolwezi. Type in that name to Google Earth and zoom in. You will see giant open-air pit mines swallowing the city. The level of environmental destruction is startling. Insight 3. Cobalt mining in the Congo is a human rights and environmental catastrophe. There are hundreds of thousands of people in the Congo who dig for cobalt by hand with shovels, pickaxes, and rebar. They are called artisanal miners, although this quaint term belies the miserable conditions under which they toil. Artisanal miners are responsible for 30% or more of the Congo's total cobalt production. These men, women, and children as young as 6 dig for cobalt in highly hazardous conditions, suffering toxic contamination from cobalt dust, injuries from pit wall collapses, and worst of all, they are buried alive in tunnel collapses. There are 10 to 15,000 tunnels dug by hand in the region. Some of them are up to 60 meters deep as artisanal miners delve for higher grade sources of cobalt so they can try to earn a little more money. None of these tunnels have supports, and based on the many months I have spent on the ground in the Congo, I can assure you that one of these tunnels collapses every week, burying alive everyone inside, including children. For their backbreaking and hazardous work, artisanal miners are paid just a few dollars per day as they feed crucial cobalt up the chain to tech and EV companies worth trillions. To make matters worse, industrial mines have clear-cut millions of trees and dumped toxic contaminants and heavy metals into the earth, air, and water across the Congo's mining provinces, all so that we can transition to greener sources of energy. Green for us, but not for the people of the Congo. Insight 4. Companies atop the cobalt supply chain perpetuate fictions about conditions at the bottom. The companies that sell us our rechargeable gadgets and electric cars all claim to have zero-tolerance policies on child labor. They claim that the human rights of all who work in their supply chains are protected, all the way down to the mining level. They will even suggest that their particular supply chains do not contain cobalt mined by peasants and children, and that the mines in their supply chains operate sustainably. Nothing could be further from the truth. In Cobalt Red, I take the reader on a journey deep into the cobalt provinces to uncover the truth about the appalling conditions of cobalt mining, as told through the voices of the Congolese people who live, work, and die mining our cobalt. The reader will learn, for instance, that every ounce of cobalt scrounged out of the ground by artisanal miners is purchased by industrial mining companies and mixed with their production. The reader will also learn that artisanal miners are encouraged to dig on almost every industrial mine in the Congo. And why not? It is a way of boosting production at virtually nil expense. The fictions promulgated atop the cobalt chain are dispelled one by one as the reader travels to a place and time where the deepest truth about cobalt mining is finally revealed, at a place called Kamilombe. Insight 5. History is repeating itself in the heart of darkness. This is not the first time the Congo has been pillaged for its resources, and that too relating to automobiles. In 1885, a German fellow named Benz developed a car with an internal combustion engine and wooden wheels suitable for slow speeds. In 1888, a Scottish fellow named Dunlop invented rubber tires that could support higher speeds. King Leopold of Belgium had just gotten his hands on the entire Congo region in 1885 as a personal colony, and it just so happened that the Congo had one of the largest rubber tree forests in the world. Leopold deployed a mercenary army that terrorized and tortured the native Congolese people to extract rubber in one of the most ruthless episodes of slavery in history. Joseph Conrad was in the Congo at the time, and what he saw inspired his excoriating meditation on the colonial desecration of Africa, Heart of Darkness. 130 years later, we are in the midst of a new automobile revolution, the transition from gas-powered cars to electric vehicles to help meet important climate sustainability goals following the Paris Accords. The Congo is once again sitting on a vital resource needed for this second automobile revolution. And once again, the people and environment of the Congo are being plundered without mercy. It is the latest chapter in a long history of torment in the Heart of Darkness. Thank you for listening to some of these key insights from my book, Cobalt Red. I hope you will have occasion to read the book and learn more about how the blood of the Congo powers our lives.
Thank you, Siddharth. That was 5 big ideas from Cobalt Red, How the Blood of the Congo Powers Our Lives by Siddharth Kara. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.